Shirley? Yes, girl. I'm so excited about moving into our new house. Yes, that's right. Waddington. Well, it's Georgian as it's got steps leading up to a massive front door with pillars either side. No, I honestly thought we were the first black people to live in a house like this. But I found something that proves me wrong. I was in the attic putting away some boxes when I found an old chest covered in dust. I thought there were duppies in the room when I wiped the dust off. I was so scared. Anyway, let me tell you what happened. Of course, I opened it. Inside was an old leather-bound journal along with some objects wrapped in Hessian. I opened the book and written inside it said, "For my dear friend Samuel." Honestly, when I started reading, it was as if the story was coming alive on the page. There was a picture of a sad-looking black boy, about 12 years old, dressed in fancy clothes. Samuel Linley. I'd taken one of the objects out of the chest. A beautiful china bell. Let me read to you from the journal, from his youth. I heard a bell ringing. That was the signal that I must hurry down back the stairs of this grand house in Waddington to my mistress's room. I counted the steps two at a time as the wind whistled through my buttonholes, causing my coat tails to flap behind me. I thought, can I beat my record from the day before? Can I get down before the bell rings again? Don't fall, don't scuff my shoes, and don't damage my velvet breeches. When I arrived, I was breathless at the door. So I quickly composed myself by straightening my clothes and patting down my hair. I knocked at the door just before the bell rang again. Yes! Is a servant in the house? So I go rummaging in the chest again. The next thing was rather large. It was made of cast iron with a round lid. A Dutch pot! I remember my mum had one of these. She used to curry meat and cook yam and green bananas. Most Jamaican families have one. This is why I'm telling about the Dutch pot. Listen to this. My parents were bent double working on a Jamaican plantation. Dressed in flour-bag clothes, their brows etched with frowns caused by toiling every day for food and shelter, but no money. They sang about their troubles as they cooked in their Dutch pot over an open fire. I was their youngest son, favored by Master Smith, who was going to be taken to England to a town called Waddington in Sutton. I know! Right! When I reached in again, and what I felt this time was heavy, uncoupled with something bracelet-like at the end. I thought I was going to be lucky and make my fortune from some treasured jewelry. As I unfolded the fraying fabric, I found a set of shackles. I was shocked. How this came to be in the chest, I don't know. But hear about his journey to England. Moored in the dock was the Constitution, with its oatmeal-coloured sails folded against the rigging. I was ushered to a corner outside the captain's quarters. All I had was a handkerchief in which my mother had placed the end of one of her plaits and a chew stick from my father. I tied them up and put them back in my pocket. At nightfall, the ship set sail. A wooden bowl of soup and a crust of bread were consumed before sleep took over. My deep sleep was broken by the sound of howling from the bowels of the ship. What was that? As the ship tossed and turned in the angry sea, I crept out into the shadows and moved towards the distressing sound. Peering through the deck boards, I recoiled at what looked like the whites of people's eyes. The howling wasn't from any dream of a mythical creature ready to take me home, but from the distressed pleading of men, women, and children held below deck. Why are they there? I tearfully slunk back to my straw mattress, a real luxury compared to what I'd seen. I know. Grab your tissue, dry your eye. When I was rummaging again, I discovered a flask with a firm stopper. You know I opened it. The rum was long gone, but the aroma was distinctive. Let me tell you. A celebratory drink for the sailors, as the Constitution docked in Plymouth Harbour. I heard the chains and the sound of a clink, drag, clink, drag. Oh, in from the shackles. I thought, why them and not me? I was startled by hearing my name. I ran towards the man with his back to me. Captain Smith was telling his officer about the profit he'd made on Black Friday during his last voyage. He was hoping to make more money this time. I stifled my sadness by fixing a smile I'd practiced before. I scooted ahead and pulled down the steps of the carriage. Closing the door with everyone on board, I clambered onto the back and held on for dear life. Off they went along the bumpy roads to the outskirts of London to Sutton. The carriage swept past the wooden cottages perched on the bank of the River Wandle and at the end of the road turned left along the bridle path to the entrance of Beddington Park. Our journey was almost at an end. Mrs. Smith was staying with friends at the great house Carew Manor. The Carew family had lived there since Tudor times when Henry VIII courted Anne Boleyn there. Tired from the long journey, I followed the adults into the great hall. Shields and armor were displayed around the walls, and in the center stood a huge banqueting table set with silver platters glistening in the firelight. I was made to stand for the whole evening. Later that night, the Smiths and their entourage travelled to their residence in Warrington. I was scared. Oh, they gave me a candle and I was sent up to the draughty attic at the top of the stairs. So sad. This I got from the chest was about the length of a dinner knife. It was a fan, made of kid skin and painted with a picture of a young white woman and her black servant. Let me share some more with you. I felt so lonely. I was saddened at being paraded as an object of interest, dressed in fine clothes, especially when I had to wear a feathered turban jammed down over my ears, standing endlessly for portraits and wearing a silver slave collar. The Smith family made sure I knew my place. I spent a great deal of time bowing and pouring water from a kettle into a teapot.
I was nothing more than a servant. Nothing more than one of the porcelain ornaments that adorned the lacquered furniture. I became an attendant to Mrs. Smith, carrying our bags and accompanying her on trips in and around town. She taught me to read, which was to come in handy soon enough. My favorite sight from the back of the gig was the view across the bridge at Carshalton Ponds, with the Greyhound Tavern on the corner and the great church in its shadows. One day, the gig hit a hole in the road and poor I was catapulted into the mud. No one noticed. Another carriage came thundering past and I managed to jump out of the way. Knowing that my mistress wouldn't miss me till tea time, I decided to walk back. Market day was extremely busy and I was constantly bounced and pummeled out of the way. I noticed people in the street that had my collar, but not slave collars. Were they free? A big white building across the pond caught my eye. It read, Honeywood, Carshalton. I continued walking and came upon Carshalton House, where I met Charles Caesar shoveling horse manure for the kitchen garden. Charles was black like me, and a servant to Sir John Fellows, who owned the property and many more slaves across the West Indies. Charles and I became friends, and he talked longingly about his beloved home in Jamaica. Eventually, I arrived back at the Smith's home to the sound of a bell ringing. Mrs. Smith became an integral part of my life. Her expectations were high and her punishments frequent. But over time, she saw in me a curiosity and a willingness to learn. She warmed to me and had me baptized on the 5th September 1734 in St. Nicholas Church in Sutton. Who would have kept a written record of somewhere's life and left behind artifacts hidden in this old chest? Giving us clues to how he lived. I got a story to tell you.